Today is just so full of good things yet to happen that we don't want to miss anything and yet enjoy things as they flow. Because oftentimes you'll find that not everything always happens in the same order. That's not our plan. We just come here to be free and let it unfold. And it's a very free kind of worship. So if you would, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll admit, I'm not too traditional, generally. And so this isn't a traditional communion scripture. But I'm focusing on what Jesus said. As often as you do it in remembrance of him. So it's the having communion together, but in remembrance of him. And these portions of scripture that I have today are a wonderful reminder to me particularly, and you probably as well, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So that's our opening scripture, but also for communion, because we're going to have communion right afterwards. Even before Huggy Break, imagine that. Yeah, we have a lot of good stuff happening today. So see if you can identify with this. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. From Ephesians chapter 2. And you, he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. You were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age. In accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the sinful self, indulging the desires of human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were, by nature, children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And here's my two favorite words, but God, being so very rich in mercy because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us. Even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he has raised us up together with him when we believed, and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ by providing for our redemption. And when I think about what Paul had written under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's a reminder to all of us that no, we didn't all live the same life, but we all had the same spirit. We had the spirit of Adam, if you will, after Adam sinned, and then a curse came upon mankind as a result of that. But in the context of all this, Jesus became the curse in our place. And everything that ever happened in your family down through generations, Jesus broke every one of those generational curses off our lives. We are free people. Not only did he forgive our sins, but he removed them. And that's why we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ, because the blood of Christ made us qualified. It's all about the blood. And do you know, there is no reference, there is no mention, there is no list where our sins are in heaven. There's no list. All God sees is the blood on the mercy seat. And that's why that's a really good communion scripture, because Jesus, it's about what Jesus did. And he when he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, we've become the righteousness of God, not because of what we did, but because of what he did. And that's a very powerful truth. I don't know, you may have a day where you might not think too highly of yourself, and maybe you get upset with yourself once in a while. I really don't know, but I do sometimes. I'm my worst critic. I have to
Everyone's
be.
Everyone's their worst critic.
Yeah, that's right. We are. But yet we can't negate how perfect we are in Christ. Because you see, we can pick ourselves apart, but it's all for nothing, because God picked us up when we were falling apart. Jesus is super glue. You know, it's the blood and it's the love that binds us together with Him. And it's the righteous nature that He made us in Christ that allows us the privilege to be seated in heavenly places with Him, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's where you are spiritually. You're seated with Him already in heavenly places. So when we bring the bread and the juice out, you just really grasp onto that truth. It's life-changing. It really is. Yes, Tom?
Just on the way up, I was getting a word that promised. So Galatians 4:28, it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac were, are the children of promise."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the podium, and I know it says Isaiah 53. In my mind's eye, it keeps on flashing promise. So can I read what the inscription is on the podium?
Yes.
I think that's the promise.
Yes.
So we see, probably see this every Sunday. So this is the promise. "For He was wounded and bruised for our sins." That's a promise. Receive it. Right? "He was chastised that we might have peace. He was paschal in why we are healed. We are the ones who strayed away like sheep. We who left God's path to follow our own."
Let me tip that back a bit.
"Yet God paid on Him the guilt and sins of every one of us. From prison and trial, they put Him away in His death." This is not rehearsed, right? Oh, we have to go further back because that's a long scripture.
I can't guarantee anything's going to fall out of this.
And here's the other promise right here. So
yes.
Tying them together. That was foretold. This happened.
Look how he wrecks everything the minute he shows up in this place. That's why we're critters. I love it.
"But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins that He was dying for, that He was suffering their punishment? He shall live again, and God's program shall prosper in His hands. He was counted as a sinner and bore the sins of many, and He pled with God for sinners, Jesus Messiah." So at a Christmas party, we were discussing Christmas. We prayed for revelation that Jesus went on the cross to hire them. And I think today, people don't realize it should have been them. But scriptures say there's a judge of the world. We will be judged. The world will be judged by the world. But Jesus took that place. And people don't want to accept the responsibility for what they've done. Someone else did it, or make a law that it's not a sin or anything. But that was a real deep revelation for us to understand that it was us. It was to me to be on that cross for what I've done in my life, and Jesus took my place. Once again, that's the promise. That's the promise of Jesus, the promise of Christmas, and the promise of eternal life. And once we receive that promise, does it make it easier? At times, God's faithful. That is the testimony. God's promise. So when you have it, it's not a promise, right? Well, we work for a living, you know, so we hope to get paid. Mine's different. I work on a commission, so I don't get paid. I can produce all I want, but unless I sell something, I don't get paid. And Carol's been very good. God provides. And it's getting right down to the 24th hour, and God provided. It's like, whew! But it shouldn't be, whew! It's, thank you, Lord. So if I have that mindset, God's promise is there, and walk in the promise, it changes the atmosphere. Not hoping God's going to deliver, He does. But just walking that faith and confidence, just as we're going to share communion. So yes, we will do this in remembrance of Jesus.
You want to stay right up here and
take full advantage.
Oh, okay.
I think I
might. During Christmas season, the focus generally is on the aspects of his birth, Jesus' birth, reading about Mary's encounter with the angel and how that must have freaked her out. Joseph's dilemma, I didn't do that. I mean, real issues. And what would you do? What would you say? What would you think? You know, when you read these accounts over and over, that really happened. And we can go back and read those again, and I know that we will before too long. But Jesus grew up, and for our sakes he did. And he fulfilled his God-given plan, his mission, and his purpose. And it's wonderful but sobering to ponder the move from the stable to the cross. But take the time to focus your thoughts on who he is now. And I have some scriptures to help you get focused on. And the first one is Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. Revelation 1:5. Have this in the Amplified. And as I read this, or as I've read it several times in preparation to come and read it again, I realize that Revelation 5, I'll just read it. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is who he is now. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. But the ruler of the kings of the earth, no king or no president will ever exalt himself above who Jesus is. Because one day the king's knees are going to bow, the president's knees are going to bow, and they're going to acknowledge that he is the king. He's Lord of all. And so don't get too upset with all this hot smoke going around about all these politicians and their great and famous promises and all their threats and all their acts of tyranny, if you will. Because one day they're going to bow their knee to this king who used to be this little baby in the manger. That's who he is today. He's not that little baby in the manger anymore. Now to the one. Oh, now we're going to look at verse 6. I like how they flow right to the next ones, because as John saw these things and he recorded what Jesus spoke to him, and as I read this verse, I realized how I needed to really remember that not only is he faithful and trustworthy and ruler of the kings of the earth, John goes on to write, now to the one who constantly loves us and has loosed us from our sins by his own blood, and to the one who has appointed us as a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to whom be glory and dominion throughout the eternity of eternities. Amen. Revelation 1:6. To the one who has appointed us as a kingdom of priests to serve God and Father. Did you ever see yourself as a priest? Just because you don't have the collar? Matt always told me he was going to get me one, didn't he, Karen? But he never did. That was funny. That was a Matt joke. But it's really true. He's made us kings and priests to rule and reign in his kingdom. That means to the things that he subdued, the powers that he subdued, we're to subdue them in our lives too. We've got to learn to speak stuff. Speak with authority what Jesus has done. And it'll really give you a really good hair day when you get used to seeing yourselves and being powerful in doing those things. You're just functioning in who we said you are. Not who you're going to be, but you already are. We're seated together in heavenly places with him, like we read from Ephesians. Well, now he's called us kings and priests to rule and reign here with victory, with authority, with power, with anointing. Live as though you mean it. He's not only our constant Savior, but he's giving us a job to do. Jesus is not only our friend and our Savior, but he's also our boss. We work for him, if you will. Your labor is not in vain when you know who you're working for. And the pay, it's off the charts. When you think about all the favor, all the covering, all the protection, all of the power that he's invested in us. That's precious. That's really of great value. He shares his kingdom with us. It should change our perspective on who we serve. Sometimes we can think of, well, we're working for an employer. But not really. The employer is just the vessel that he chose to provide for your needs. And so therefore, Christians should hold their employers in very high esteem because they're the ones that God chose to meet their needs. And so it's a call for Christians in the workplace to be very respective, timely, honest, faithful to whomever you work for, because ultimately we're working for him. He sits in that place above all the kings of the earth. And then I have just a couple more verses. Well, actually, that's not true. I have five. We're still in Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And this is how John saw Jesus in all his glory and all his splendor. I saw someone like the Son of Man. Oh, this is in the Passion Translation. I saw someone like the Son of Man wearing a full-length robe with a golden sash over his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as glistening snow. Let's go out there and see that glistening in the sun. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were gleaming like bright metal, as though they were glowing in a fire. And his voice was like the roar of many rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was shining like the brightness of the blinding sun. This is the Jesus that we celebrate every day. This is our real Jesus, this powerful, mighty, ruling one. He's not a wimpy Jesus that National Geographic talks about or the History Channel or your favorite fantasy world of not really believing him and knowing him for who he is. It's a privilege and an honor to bow at his feet, to submit in obedience to his power and authority with humility. And even though we have the privilege of walking with him as our friend, we need to put all of our arrogance and entitlement aside continually. It's nice to hear Jesus call us kings and priests. But our walk that lines up with that kind of a king and a priest will be like the walk that he walked. He didn't seek his own fame. He didn't seek his own fortune. He didn't seek his own will. He didn't exercise his position over everybody else. He didn't come into town with an attitude. He's going to one day. But he didn't when he came as a servant. And he didn't say that he came to be served. He came to serve. And so that's the kind of spirit that we need to keep in remembrance. And then verses 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet, as good as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, and I heard his reassuring voice saying, "Don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and the end, the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever. And I hold the keys that unlock death in the unseen world. I am he that liveth and was dead. I hold the keys of hell and death." And I believe when we truly understand the majesty and the awesomeness of who we serve, knowing that he's on our side, fear will lose its grip on you. When you come to realize that God is for us and not against us. And the fact is that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. No matter how dark things become, or how bad they look coming into a new year, and all the doom and gloom that we've been hearing, even before Christmas, and all the new mandates and all of that stuff coming again for 2 years, even in all of that, do you know what doesn't change one bit or take one diamond out of the King of Kings' crown? And we're still the King's kids, and we can still live out our faith and dignity, and power, and authority, and love. And fear has no hold over us, because we have the light of the world. Enjoy the stable and the story of its beginning on earth. We don't ever want to lose track of that. But understand that he's the real Jesus who will complete his story as well as our own. Because God, it's not finished with any of us, because we're still here. And when we're no longer here, we get the upward call. And when we stand before him, we want to hear those words, don't we, Ken? Well done. Amen. Just a different aspect, but something powerful to think of when it looks like a lot of things are closing in and in the natural sense, but always be aware he lived here and he conquered everything. And everything is now under his feet. It may not look like it, but don't look with these eyes, look with your spirit eyes. That's why this is a balance to the Jesus that we're going to sing some songs about after lunch. And then Friday night again, right? Is this Friday coming? Yes. So Father, I just ask you that you open our eyes to understand who you really are. When we're tempted to give you more of an enhanced human version of ourselves, remind us of who you really are. Keep us in our place. It's a wonderful, loving place as we who serve you, where we can partner with you for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody have any prayer needs?